Okay, so looks like it's time. So let me start it. In this presentation, I would like to give you a quick introduction what happens in IaaS in the last year from user perspective. There's a lot of changes inside, but what's visible. So what will be content of this presentation is a bit talking about usability changes. There's some changes in how we manipulate config files and what's the benefits for users. There's of course new features, so also some new bugs, and there's we working on new storage stack. It's not yet deployed anywhere, so it's not possible to see it yet. So regarding usability, we try quite a lot on improving error reporting. Basically, when something goes wrong, and if you get some useless error that say nothing, then yeah, usually customers are or users aren't happy because they would like to know some details, what's going wrong, how they can improve it. So a few examples, what we improves in this area is when there is a non-blocking installation error, which currently is just in red line, red color in installation summary. We now also raise a pop-up, and it have two benefits. First is that it's really visible, that it's not just warning, it's non-blocking error. So it means if you are really, really sure, you can try to do installation, but there's high probability it will fail. And second advantage is that it's easily catchable by OpenQA. So OpenQA, when they see some strange pop-up, start complaining, "I don't like it," and that's not how it should look like. Another improvement is you can pass a registration URL at installation command line. It's mainly interesting for SLI users, but we plan to allow this also for other URLs. If you write it wrong, it will just raise error, there's wrong URL, and you have to start from scratch installation. It's quite currently a pop-up shown there, the URL is wrong, and it allows you to write it correctly from installer, so you can just continue. Also, we improve checking from mandatory installation packages. For example, how it works, for a bootloader, you need the grab2 package on target system, otherwise you have a problem when you upgrade kernel. So bootloader say to software proposal, "We would like to have here grab2 and some other packages," but what users can do is that they can open software proposal and say, "Yeah, I don't like grab2," so deselecting it. And problem with this approach is that, of course, we allow it, but bootloader won't work as you expect because it cannot be installed. So what happens now is that it's a non-blocking error, which says there's mandatory packages that we need, and if you proceed, probably some parts of your system won't work as you expected. Another quite nice feature is recovery when there is a broken bootloader configuration. How it can happen, for example, if your disk crash and you have a backup, so you restore a backup to different disk and somehow boot machine, for example, via DVD, which have option boot system from disk. Then you start a bootloader IaaS module, and it will report, "We should boot from disk that I don't know because we use UDEV IDs, there is some ID of disk, and that's different disk." So it complain that it cannot boot. And what's happened now, it reports something is wrong, configuration is broken, and you have a button to propose it from scratch. So you just say, okay, propose me from scratch, and it proposes working solution. You confirm it, and you have again working bootloader as you expected. Yeah. And last but not least, slightly expert topic. I'm not sure how much of you try to boot via serial console, but its parameters are quite tricky because there's something like speed of that console, device inside stuff. And in past, if you write it wrong, it just report you write wrong parameters. So currently, it will also write you a help text how the parameters should look like and explain each part. And also, it's explained in help currently in better way. So also, if you are not familiar with Serial Console, it will help you to configure it. And of course, I would like to thank to our usability team in Yast, in SUSE, which we often discuss these issues and they propose some solution that doesn't look, that's more from user perspective and not so much from developer one. Okay. Next one. Okay, another usability improvement is that we get reports that half a gig is no longer enough for installation of OpenSUSE. And there are some requirements because currently you install to various virtual machines and such stuff, so we should reduce a footprint. So what we did is that we analyze usage of memory in installation and reduce it. But I would like to give here a slight warning that it really depends on number of your online repositories because we still fit only roughly. So there is a very small space of memory that keeps there. So if you have a lot of online memories during installation, it usually exceeds that amount of memory you should fit into it. Yeah, and another usability improvement is that we get some report from, I think it's student on university that have problems with, problem with eyes, so need high contrast theme from installation. So we did some analysis. We also, in the end, contact some researcher on university about various low visions problems. And what we have now is that we add another three themes to installation that allows for various problems, different themes, so it's more visible for the people. Okay, another part is how we assess configuration files. Just quick intro to CFA, which is Config Files API, which is a framework that we use. It uses a layered approach, so it tries to separate reading content, parsing content, and then high-level assessing it. The advantage above old solution is there is a precise command manipulation. So it means not any command should be removed, but also if Yast wants to add some smart commands like do not touch this, it's configured by Yast, it's now possible. And it uses quite a lot of Gauss lenses, so it means we don't need a write own parsers usually. If AUGAS support it, we can just reuse what's already existing. And another advantage is that we're contributing to AUGAS upstream. We already fix one or two stuff there and improve some lenses when some parts doesn't fit. One example is in NTP. We, for example, allow new syntax for IPv6 restriction and we of course send it to upstream. So even not just the IaaS benefits from this change. What we improve in this config files API in last year is that we try to do a smarter writing. Previously, the parser creates some tree, and we create some internal representation of this tree, manipulate with it, and then write it whole back. So it means in AUGAS, everything is marked as dirty. Still, no comments will be removed, but some white spaces, some formatting will be removed, because AUGAS tries to keep it only if the element is untouched. If you modify it, it will also write it somehow from scratch. So what we do is now that we, in our internal tree, also keep these flags. If stuff is modified, add, removed, and then we apply it to using AUGAS own operations. So there's stuff like remove it, add something, or just modify. And that allows AUGAS to do more smarter editation. And in the end, a div is really small and really edits only parts that just needs. So rest of your file is untouched. Yeah, and also we try to optimize it. We have old bugs that etc host have more than 10,000 lines of config. The real usage is that they use some kind of software that do some kind of blocking by writing stuff to etc hosts, and in the end their blacklist is so big that it's so many lines with sending host to some blocking gateway. So we tried with CFA this old bug if it helps, and as you can see lower in measurement, it's around 2 times faster. But we think it's not enough, and it's time to at least learn to play with Ruby Profiler, which really rocks. It's something like, I think it's comparable to, for example, Scene Profilers. And we optimize it by some caching. When we analyze output, we analyze it, and result is that it's again 2 times faster. So just with using a different parser and with optimizing it, result is that previously just opens for more than 1 minute, and now it's 20 seconds, which is still far from perfect, but yeah, it's really really big file. And I'm not so sure that AUGAS is the correct tool to edit file that have 10,000 lines, because yeah, it's really big. Yeah, and we still increasing usage of that CFA. Originally it was introduced for bootloader, which have various formats. And now we use it also, as I mentioned, for etc host, also from NTP. As I mentioned, we found there is a bug in AUGAS lens that prevent parsing new IPv6 options, so we also fix it. We use it for modifying zip configuration. Also, if you see the IMOS presentation at this morning, we are now somehow configuring Puppet and Salt, so we also using it for these new parts of YAST. Okay, so new features. Yeah, it depends how much you are paranoid, but there is something like trusted booting that verifies integrity of whole your system from a very start. So for legacy booting, it starts at BIOS. For newer, it should start on EFI, but YAST and also installation and whole OpenSUSE doesn't have support yet for EFI. So that's one of new feature, that there is a new software that's it's called TPM2, and it allows booting for EFI. Yeah, the sad part that they create a new software and they just drop a legacy booting. So we would like to support both of it. So result is that in UI, it looks like just one checkbox. I want trusted booting, but in backend, it's two different software and slightly different configuration. Yeah, but in UI, it looks like it's same. And now we support trusted booting also on EFI. Yeah. Another part is CAS and Kubik. If you see a presentation yesterday, it's some orchestration. Yeah, it's platform for container orchestration. What adaptation in YAST is mainly that we create that simplified installer. Maybe you see it yesterday, it's just one click installer. And there's a lot of adaptations to really have a small and installer, and also to allow this to be done automatic way. So that's how this simplified installation looks like. As you can see, only mandatory part is a password for root and the confirmation of password. Yeah, because we don't want to pre-fill it for you. But other parts are automatically proposed. For example, NTP servers are obtained by SLP discovery. And the rest is just proposed, and you can click install and it will work. Yeah, one different feature for OpenSUSE is if you use Tumbleweed, you may be noticed in installation is new desktop selection. Now it's still the first draft. There is still in queue some improvements to this part, but let me introduce why we did it, because there is also some controversy about it, like why there is not Enlightenment, XIF, CE, and whatever desktop you like. And in effect, that's the exact reason. There is now so many forks and attempts to write own desktop solution, and everyone would like to have it in installer and think that others are second citizen. So we should replace this not so active desktop with our desktop and so on. And YAST team don't want to maintain it, such list, and also don't want to make these decisions, because it's always it's something like flame, you cannot win. So what's the result is this simple dialogue that allows KDE and GNOME, which we still see as a major ones that use a majority of new users. There is server for a quick installation of text mode, and then there is a custom, and custom opens a patterns selector. And so it means that any new desktop, only thing that they need to do is have its pattern in a repository. They maintain this pattern, they decide what's used as login manager and such stuff, because everything is in pattern. And one more advantage is that on this same screen, you can configure online repositories. So it means that, for example, if Leap is released half a year ago, and there is a new cool desktop that you would like to have in this older Leap, you can just send it to update repository. And then if you install with network, you have this update repository, and the patterns that will be also in update repository is shown in this custom. So in fact, you can install a desktop that's not yet available when the DVD is released. Yeah, that's more like for developers, but you can maybe also notice it because we integrate debugger, Ruby debugger and profiler. It can be started by common environment variables that you just define it and it just start in debugger and profiler. But how you can see it is if Yast somehow crashes, especially in installation, then it show pop-ups, and in this pop-up you can click on the button that you would like to debug this issue, and it will show the Ruby debugger and you can play with it. So not so much for end users, but very useful for developers to see what's exactly going wrong. And for example, even users can go to this debugger and try something, some commands that's suggested by developers. If it's really one machine problem, we cannot reproduce it, then you have full environment for debugging. So it also helps us with some cooperation when something goes wrong. Yeah. As I mentioned, it's on system and in installation. By default, the dependency is not installed on system. So if you have just on system, the debugger is not there. But in installation, it's part of installation system. So it's always there. And if you are not native speakers, English native speakers, it can also maybe helps you that just switch to OpenSUSE Weblate. There's URL. I tried before this presentation, and I have to say I'm quite impressed because in past I tried some translation using VI, which is cool and hacker way, but this web UI really helps with some associations. For example, you translate some string and gives you 10 different strings that's translated and that contains similar words. So you have some idea how it's translated at other parts, and it helps you have consistent translation. So just using this Weblate for translating now, and I encourage anyone to just try it and see if maybe you can improve, not just Yast translation, but there's also other projects that's in OpenSUSE. So you can help your colleagues that don't speak English. Yeah, and we have a new module for alternatives. It's a result of Google Summer of Code. It was implemented by Joachim, which was Google Summer of Code student, and you can met him last year because he was here at conference. And if you don't know what's alternatives, just quickly, it's a system how you can switch implementation. If there's several forks of some projects, you can easily switch between them. It's used, for example, for AVKey. You can, I think it's also heavily used by Java to switch if you have multiple Java environments. What's default one? Yeah, and there's a salt integration into auto installation and also experimental Puppet. That's, if you are interested into it, I really suggest to see a video for morning talk that was made by Imo. Yeah, and there's a new storage stack, which is some redesign of storage code. It's every part is touch. It allows new features because the hardware vendors are so crazy. It allows new fancy hardware that have various support. Also kernel guys add crazy features to BTRFS, and we need to somehow support it. So you will see it, and there's here at 2 o'clock, Arvin will present about it. So I would like to invite everyone to see this talk if you are interested. So some references, you can find us on GitHub. CFA is also on GitHub, and Weblate is here. I will paste a presentation to speaker deck if you are later interested. You can also contact us. We have web pages. We have IRC, email. And the last but not least, we have also our blog, which currently lives on Lizards. And it's also source of this presentation, because I picked the most interesting stuff from our blog. So if you are interested what's happened in IAST, usually every 3 weeks we post here a blog post, what's new. So I would like to thanks everyone for attending, and if you have questions, just ask. Yeah, looks like everything is clear. So thanks for your attention.